This Monday is President Obama's inauguration. And to mark the start of his second term, the Walker Art Gallery in Liverpool is displaying a series of large silkscreen prints inspired by his 2008 presidential campaign. They're the work of the British artist Nicola Green, who's married to the Labour MP for Tottenham, David Lammy. Well, through her husband, she managed to get access to the Obama campaign, and the result is a distillation of her impressions into a series of seven quite stark symbolic images called In 7 Days. Front Row brought her together with Simon Roberts, who was the official artist for the British general election in 2010. It was the first time that a photographer was given the role, and you can see some of their work on our website. I asked them whether they had a particular image in mind when they set out on the campaign trail.
Well, I started wanting to do a portrait of Obama. My starting point was as a mother, and when he was thinking of running, I was pregnant with our first son, and my son's a mixed race like him, and I started thinking about what this story might mean for my boys. But the further I went along in my experiences on the campaign, the more I realised the whole world was watching this story, and I was interested in what this meant for the whole of America and what it meant to people all around the world.
And Simon, did you have a particular image that you were kind of fishing for right from the outset? You knew?
Well, I think one of the challenges that I was going to have was the fact that this was probably going to be the most photographed election in British history. So as photography was my medium, I need to think about that prior to the actual election, because I didn't want to travel around the country, you know, rehashing what everybody else was doing. So actually, I spent a lot of time pre-planning the constituencies that I was going to visit, the candidates who I was interested in, and then also the kind of landscape. So in some instances, I'd planned the actual picture down to quite a lot of detail 3 or 4 months before the actual election.
And were either of you conscious that the political machine, the party machine, that the campaign was trying to manipulate or influence you or what you were going to do?
My work was self-funded, self-determined, and I sort of worked incredibly hard to try and get access, but it wasn't commissioned in that sense. So I had a massive job persuading people to give me access.
But once you were in there, did you find Obama's people trying to steer you in a certain direction, I suppose?
No, not at all. I was the last thing on their worry list, in a way. Rightly, they were worrying about a political campaign. So no, I didn't get that sense at all. Probably.
You had a connection, didn't you, through your husband, David Lammy, who's a politician who was connected to Obama. Did that help?
Yes, he met Obama years ago. They were both part of the Black Harvard Law alumni, and so they had a relationship. But I didn't feel any pressure. And in fact, my not being American, in a way, gave me an ability to have a perspective and a distance from the kind of machinations of the political party machine, in a sense. And I was very conscious of not getting too much into the party political. Why was the world looking at this particular story at this particular point in time? And it wasn't about a Democrat-Republican story. It was about this mixed-race guy running to become president of the United States of America, get the most powerful job in the world. And America was a slave-owning nation. And this was a big deal in America, and it was a big deal around the world. And the issues of identity, race, what were the peculiarities of the American democratic system that meant that this was happening in America at this point in time, those kind of more universal, bigger issues were what I was interested in, rather than the sort
you
of party
were sort of
political.
Back a bit more, yeah. But what about you, Simon? Presumably, you did come under pressure from the various party machines.
Well, actually, the commission, what it was supposed to give you was this special access, in inverted commas, to the three main party leaders. So the idea was that you would go on that kind of campaign trail with the candidates. But I decided very early on that I'd move beyond that, and I didn't want to become part of that kind of gravy train, so that I would distance myself from the main kind of party machine, if you like. However, whenever I was with one of the main parties, I would always try and be at a distance. So all of the photographs are taken from an elevated position from the roof of my motorhome, where I'm actually kind of behind the press. So the press is always part of the picture.
Because presumably that's important for you to separate yourself from the press pack, distinguish yourself as an artist.
Exactly, yeah. So, I mean, I was using an old plate camera, so it was a piece of equipment that's the last kind of piece of equipment that you'd want to use to cover a news event. So I was trying to distance myself, not just in terms of the equipment, but also just in terms of perspective, so that I was always a kind of bird's eye, if you like, overlooking a scene. But even so, I mean, when I got the commission, the Conservative Party press office gave me a list of candidates that they would prefer that I photograph. So there was this kind of massaging, if you like.
Did you ignore that?
I did at first, but then actually I thought it's really interesting that that was the case and decided to photograph one of the candidates. So that picture became about the idea of construction and manipulation because, you know, that was all part of the way that they were I suppose, kind of trying to position me in terms of what I was doing.
And also you chose to cover all the parties, even the very fringe ones, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I think that was one of the interesting things about the British electoral process is the huge number of different parties that are running. And so I wanted to have a sense of this perspective, you know, just in even down to the kind of more humorous candidates, which are part of the kind of British electoral process. You know, if we think of the Monster Raving Loony Party or, you know, all the way through to the quite extreme parties like the BNP. So I wanted to have this kind of this wider view, if you like.
Now, you both took an awful lot of images. I think you did sketches, didn't you, as well, Nicola? And I'm interested in the process of then distilling down into a few images, because you had seven images in all. Talk me through that process. Thousands of photographs, thousands of drawings, and down to seven really quite simple images, aren't they?
Well, that was, in my case, a very long process. It took me about 2 years. There was a lot of noise around this election in 2008. I think that election was probably one of the most reported and watched events in history. And so I was very aware, thought very, very carefully about what is the role of the artist as opposed to the news reporter or the photojournalist, or, you know, what can the artist bring to the table that's different? And I think the opportunity that I had was that I wasn't having to syndicate my photos. I actively wasn't going to do anything with the photos immediately. So I wasn't concerned with what did the story mean in that day, in that week. I had the opportunity to reflect and really think, not just about the literal narrative that I went on, beginning in Denver, where he accepted the nomination, and ending in inauguration, but I got to think about all the themes contained in this story that I wanted to get across.
You've honed in on hands. Mm. There's a lot of images with hands.
They've all got hands.
They've all got hands in. I mean, how did you come down to that?
In Denver, in August 2008, when he accepted the nomination, it was, I don't know if you remember, but it was in the Mile High Stadium in Denver. It was massive. It was a 70,000 people stadium. And I was just in the middle of the stadium, in the middle of all these people. And just before Obama came on the stage, the 70,000 people started doing a Mexican wave. And the energy in that stadium, it was the most electrifying energy I've ever witnessed and been part of. And everybody's hands and arms were sort of being thrown up in all different directions. And the energy sort of literally seemed to come from people's hands.
And this led to your first print, which is a sort of circle of hands, making the sort of different signs. Simon, let me ask you, because it's almost like you went in the other direction, whereas Nicola honed in on the detail, you decided to go for the big picture. So you have these wide shots taken from a distance and a height. And it struck me, looking at them, that landscape becomes very important in that case, doesn't it? Whether it's a country lane or a Tesco's car park. Was that part of the idea?
Yeah, I mean, I really was seeing these as a set of landscape photographs where it was putting the election in context. I really wanted to look as much about the British landscape in 2010 at this point of a very important election as much as the kind of political drama or non-drama, if you like, within the frame. And so it was looking at these signifiers like the Tesco branding or the, you know, which is kind of ubiquitous on the British landscape, through to the kind of form of architecture of housing estates and the closed down Woolworths in Perth, or, you know, just these little elements which told you something also about what was happening in Britain alongside the election. So if you look at the picture of Gordon Brown, where Gillian Duffy started heckling him. There's an enormous amount of information in that photograph, which tells you not just about the political process, about the drama that was happening with her, but also about the security services, the housing in Rochdale, the barbecue, the police officers, even all the people filming. There's a nurse filming on her mobile phone. So the sense that all these images are then going to kind of go on into the ether, onto YouTube or Flickr, etc. So it's trying to build up this bigger picture, if you like, this wider tableau of what was happening at the time.
I mean, just finally, with seemingly wall-to-wall media coverage of both, the UK general election and the US presidential ones, it's very easy for us to get, jaded about election campaigns. And I wondered whether there were any aspects that surprised you when you were covering them in such a focused manner.
I think for me, the surprising thing was how different a political campaigns are run in America to Britain. And I think one of the things about that, which I hadn't thought a lot about beforehand, is the fact that in a presidential campaign in America, they are electing their president, who's not only their political leader, but also their head of state. And my final piece of work is an image of his hand in the gesture that he makes when he is being inaugurated as president. And in that moment that he puts his hand up, he represents everybody in America, even everybody who hasn't voted for him.
I suppose I came out of it having rediscovered my faith in the political process, because it was amazing to see the passion and drive by so many of these candidates that were, in some instances, fighting for a campaign which they were never going to win. I mean, Hamira Khan, young Conservative PPC running in Glasgow East. I mean, 75% Labour. She's got no chance of winning that seat. But there she was, day in, day out, campaigning for her beliefs. Now, whether you are behind her political beliefs or not, the point is that there was this kind of thrust and energy that she brought to her campaign, and that a lot of the other PPCs brought to their campaign, that I think that we really need to feel very positive about in terms of the way that our democratic process works.
Simon Roberts and Nicola Green. Nicola's show in 7 days is on at the Walker Gallery in Liverpool until the 14th of April, and Simon Roberts' election project can be seen in Parliament by contacting the curator's office. You're listening to Front Row on BBC Radio 4.